Father God, I pray that you take these words that have been prepared and bring them to life by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated. We are continuing in our series where we look at the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. And I want to start this sermon with the words, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Why? Because without the Holy Spirit, this talk would be just words strung together to entertain you. But God is not in the entertainment business. Jesus did not go to the cross to provide a story or an epic Hollywood movie. And we are not left alone to wade our way through life with all its ups and downs, doubts and fears. We have living in us the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now you thought I'd finished then, didn't you? No such luck. Many Christians have difficulty with the third person of the Trinity. Some embrace the Holy Spirit and really connect with him, whereas others try to live without him or relegate him to a place in the shadow of their lives. But like it or not, if you are a Christian, if you follow Jesus as Lord and call God Abba Father, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Because you can't say any of those without the Spirit of God. He is the one who enables us to stay connected to the Father and the Son. If we struggle to encounter the Holy Spirit, remember that he does all the work. All we need to do is give him access. He was right there at the beginning in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We can see him at work throughout the Bible, through every book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. That same Spirit that hovered over the deep is at work in us today. Sometimes we are aware of him. Sometimes we're fearful of his work and ministry. I know I was when I was first called to ordain ministry. I battled for many years against this and kept running away. But he doesn't let you go, just so you know that. And sometimes we're confused about who he is and what he does. To understand the Spirit's work in our lives, we need to look at Jesus. He told the disciples that the secret of his own victorious life was his intimate union with his Father and the Spirit. He also told them that their victory was dependent upon their ongoing connection to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. We simply cannot be a Christian without the power of the Spirit being at work in our lives. And Paul stresses that in our reading from verse 9. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So now that we have established this, let's look at how we live in the Spirit. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to be our helper. John 14, 16 says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." The Spirit of Truth will guide us by convicting us of our sin or righteousness. He will defend us against the attacks of the enemy and empower us. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work in us to mould and shape our character and give us the resources we need in order to be what God expects. God is a person to get to know and explore. There will always, always be something new to discover each and every day. And our relationship with him is dependent upon Jesus and the outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we just focus on God or Jesus, then we are being inconsistent with faith. All three are one, yet individual in their purpose. And we have an obligation to live by the Spirit, because it is he who gives life to our mortal bodies. If we ignore the Spirit's prompting, then we live according to our human nature, which will only lead to death. Of course, we will all die. But our souls, the very essence of who we are, will live on if we are led by the Spirit of God. And we will be, as it says in verse 17, fellow heirs with Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us confidence by reminding us that we are loved and held by God. He empowers us to serve God and gives us the gifts to do the work that we are all called to do. It is the Holy Spirit that prompts us and challenges us to make a difference. Because he is God's Spirit, he is always one step ahead of us. Don't ever think you can outwit God, because you can't. He's always one step ahead. And we all need to think through what God might be saying to us and respond to his leading and guiding. We live in an ever-changing world. We are in the world, but not of the world. But that doesn't mean that we can ignore what's happening. We are living in dangerous times. And as a local and universal church, we need to grapple with the issues that face us, that face our families, our community, and our world. It's no use just sitting in our comfortable buildings, in our new comfy chairs. Don't get too comfy, because God will have his way. We must respond to what God is calling us to do. It's a cop-out to leave everything to the leaders, the politicians, the armed forces, the police, the health practitioners, the teachers, the social services, whoever or whatever. We all have a part to play. The Holy Spirit is at work in the world, and he needs us. We may not be able to make a big difference, but we can make a difference. The Spirit of God is always speaking to us. The question is, are we listening? I came across an example in a book I'm reading at the moment by Malcolm Duncan. And this little story really, really moved me, so I'm going to share it with you. They've just gone, Malcolm Duncan and his wife have just gone to Italy for a holiday. On October 7th, we decided to go to hear a choir sing. We were really looking forward to the concert, and together with about 1,000 other people, we crowded into a large and amazingly ornate church to enjoy a mixture of classical and contemporary music. The moment the choir started, however, we realised there was a problem. Clearly, the idea of harmony had quietly passed them by, and their rendition of a beautiful song somehow made a cat's chorus sound more inviting. These people were making a joyful noise to the Lord, but it was more of a noise than a melody. Leaning across to Debbie, I whispered that it might be a good idea to slip out after the first song and leave the rest of the folk to enjoy the evening. I thought we might go and have something to eat and take in the sights, smells and sounds of Rome on a chilly Saturday night in October. Debbie agreed, and we slipped out of the church at what we thought was an inappropriate moment. About 750 other people slipped out too. However, so the whole thing ended up being very embarrassing. Escaping the departing throng, we stood in the street as we tried to decide where to go next. Red-faced and laughing, we were about to make our way to a restaurant where we had enjoyed both food and the ambience the evening before, when Debbie's attention was caught by the sight of a man, a woman and a child, wrapped in blankets and huddling against each other for warmth around a fire that they had lit on the steps of a church. Their hands, faces and clothes were dirty, and they had the eyes of those who had been forgotten. They were vacantly staring into the fire when the young woman stretched her hand into a bag full of rubbish and discarded food. I watched, deeply moved, as she fished out what looked like a piece of bread and lovingly popped it into the hand of her hungry child. This little family had nothing. We stood in silence watching a Dickensian scene unfold in front of us. I remember wondering how they had got there, what had happened to bring them to this. Something was wrong. The kingdom of God was as real on this street beside this fire as it was in that ornate church with its painted ceilings and robed choir. My theology told me God was just as much on the street with this family as he was in the church building with the choir. So why wasn't anyone helping this family? Why were we the only ones still standing in the street? Where had the audience gone? Debbie watched the scene with me and suggested that we should do without our meal and buy this family something instead. I heartily agreed. Then, just as we were about to cross the street to explain in broken Italian what we wanted to do, it happened. A moment of sheer beauty and grace unfolded before us. Debbie and I watched as two young Catholic priests rounded the corner of the church building. They were both dressed in black, each wearing a black hat and carrying a small black medical-type bag. These two young men approached the young family, bent down and put their arms around them. Then one of the priests opened his bag and produced a small gas stove, a little pot, and a jar of food. He laughed and smiled with the family as he started to cook for them. He brought out plates, forks, and cups and chatted to the man and woman, ruffling the little one's hair as he set about preparing them a meal. After a little while, he served them the food from his pot and nibbled at it himself. Clearly, what was good enough for them was good enough for him. Then the other priest opened his little black bag. He pulled something out of it, and as I strained to see what it was, I realized that he was holding a book of some sort. Perhaps it was a Bible. Perhaps it was his breviary, which would have included prayers as well as biblical texts. It was too dark to tell what kind of book he held. He said something to the young family that I could not hear and would not have understood if I did hear it, because I don't speak Italian. Then he opened his book and started to read with this family, just as the first priest had fed their bodies. Now this priest seemed to be feeding their souls. Debbie and I stood watching this holy moment for some time and silently wept. Those young priests are living examples of living by the Spirit. A small, tiny, random act of kindness that would have made a huge impact in their lives. Every Christian, every human can make a difference in the world. And we must think through what God might be saying to us and how we can respond to his guidance. If we are keeping in step with the Lord through his Spirit, he will prompt us to do what is needed. My family and I were on holiday just a few weeks ago, and we came across people begging in the street. We didn't give them anything, because we're aware that people are making a rich living through begging on the streets. But after reading this story, it made me think. And the woman, the scruffy woman in Pisa, in her torn clothes and shoes taped up with a plastic bag, came to mind. And God's Spirit said to me that I should have given her something. He said it then, when we were in Pisa, now that I think about it, but I just walked on by. If I'd only given her €1 or two, it wouldn't have broke the bank. I'd spent a lot of money on that holiday and couldn't spare a couple of euros. God also said to me, it's not your place to judge. If they're desperate enough to dress like that, even if they're making a lot of money, that's nothing to do with me. Respond, respond, respond. God also said to me this morning, you buy bottled water sometime. How many people here buy bottled water? What's wrong with Corporation Pop? Just think the next time you buy bottled water in this country, could I give that to a beggar or a busker or a charity box? I'm not judging. It's not my place. More and more people are begging. More and more refugees are flooding into this country. They all have a need. Don't examine what I say. Examine what God says. As the culture shifts around us, we must examine what Christ is saying to us and commit ourselves again to being faithful in our witness for him, in our action, our attitudes, our thinking, and our conversations. Let us be a kingdom people with a kingdom perspective by connecting with all three persons of the Trinity. Then, and only then, can we be fully known and fully know. Amen.